I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane, I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, and Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Well, the big news in the world of pro wrestling, as we well know, is that Nia Jax and Charlotte Flair have rematched for Monday on Raw. That's what everybody's talking about after that tremendous match that they had last week.
Well, they're owed a rematch. We're all owed a rematch.
They did that. They said they literally came out with that statement over the weekend. Like, we're announcing. Well, I guess they think that people thought that was a shoot or something, and now they want to see if they're going to fight each other for real, or I don't
know. Yeah, I really don't care. I don't know about anybody else, but I just don't care.
Honestly, the Cornette blow by blow on that thing is pretty funny, because he Brian Last makes him watch it like all the way through in real time, and he's like, it's not a shoot, they just fucked up. they just fucked up, now they're pissed.
Yeah,
it was the weirdest shit in history. No, we just got through watching All Out.
It
was All In, because All Out's the Vegas thing. It was All Elite Wrestling's pay-per-view, and it was, I don't know how you're going to top that a show of the year. Holy shit.
Yeah, good luck.
Every match did tell a story, as they say, and that makes complete sense to me. They were surprised. I mean, it's really everything you wanted. Even the women's match, and women's wrestling in AEW has been kind of, the Battle Royale paid off. I thought the Dr. Britt Baker thing paid off. I thought everything paid off tonight.
Yeah.
There were some lags in the CM Punk match because I don't think it was ever going to live up to expectations. There were a couple lags in the main event match, but I thought everything was really, 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 really good.
Yeah, I can't complain. Really can't. And you know, I've seen some people, and even me, and I was mentioning it to you all night long about Paul Waite and QT Marshall. I'm like, when is this coming on? What are they waiting for? Is this going to be the curtain closers, or what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But then I kind of figured things out once things got going, and it was strategically placed for a reason.
Right, to give you a breather before the main event.
Yeah, to let the CM Punk everything clear out of everybody's system, and then so they could get rejuvenated for the Omega Cage thing. So
the punk match was fine. I thought in the middle it kind of drug a little bit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't think it was ever going to live up to the hype, but they did well. Both of them were really good, and they got the little sting rub at the end and all that stuff. So
yeah, it was a little anticlimactic, I guess. But I don't know. I think they could have lived up to expectations. It would be hard, but. I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting too much out of Punk, or was expecting too much out of Punk after being out of the ring for 7 years. But I guess I'm just assuming that, you know, even though he's been out of the spotlight for 7 years, that doesn't necessarily mean he's been out of the ring for 7 years. I mean,
he's been working out. I'm sure. He looked like he was taking care of himself.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a little Greg Valentine-ish, as somebody put it. But
Greg Valentine-ish. Somebody correct me, but I did not see any tributes to Daphne.
No, I missed it
I was a little, and I don't know if that was in the buy-in or what we missed.
Maybe.
Or something, but I was a little surprised they didn't do something for Daphne, and I'm not going to necessarily fault them, because, again, I don't know if I'm 100% right about that, but obviously that was an incredibly sad story, and it vaulted to a lot of different things. I was watching stupid-ass Russo with somebody. Oh, Billy Body. I kind of like the Billy Body guy who's on with him. Except their whole thing is they trash the dirt sheets, and the dirt sheets suck, and Dave Meltzer sucks, and he might be gay, and, you know, all that shit. But they were trying to turn it into a slam against Sean Ross Sapp because of the sharing of the video and stuff. Because did you actually see the people sharing the video?
No, I didn't see that. I didn't want to see it.
It
really
was pretty. I mean, it's not graphic, but it's awful. And
knowing what happened, you don't want to look at it. You
right.
know,
it's not graphic or anything like that. But it is. It's obviously somebody who's going through a lot of emotional distress, and it's not something that people should be seeing.
Right.
It shouldn't be out there that's being consumed for people's entertainment.
Right. Mickey James really took this hard. I don't know if you saw any of her posts, but
I did. Everybody,
apparently they were like roommates, or they were like buddies when she was in OVW.
I was hearing a lot of stuff, and I heard like she had a really bad match, I guess, in TNA, and she banged her head pretty bad, and it might have caused some, you know, chronic traumatic encephalopathy or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she seems
not mental issues.
She seems to be the sweetest girl.
Brain issues.
Everybody had like just the nicest things to say about her and stuff. And I mean, I tweeted this, and I don't know how eloquent I was, but I always wondered for people. I've had suicide impact my family and my family's, you know, some family members and some people that I miss dearly, and I always wonder after the fact if those people could see what happened afterwards, if they would go back in time and reverse it. And that's maybe why It's a Wonderful Life is like my favorite movie, is because he's given a chance to see what his life would be like without him. But you know, it's a very tragic situation, very sad. You feel awful for her family. She was adamant that her brain go for study in Boston. I guess it's that to Mrs. Group, and I hope that, you know, they're able to do that. So it's, you know, that was a very sad situation. Again, I was kind of surprised. I didn't see SmackDown.
I didn't either. I didn't record it either.
I didn't see much of Rampage. So again, I don't know how these salutes did and these tributes to Daphne did, but it kind of maybe got lost a little bit. But like you said, I saw Mickey James was doing said some nice things. Mick Foley said some nice things.
Yeah, Mick Foley, I saw that too.
Lots of people had, I think Hurricane Helms had some lovely things to say about
it. Yeah, I saw that one. I sure did.
Very well-liked, very well-loved performer. It's just sad to see her go at such a young age.
And you know, some people might be too young to remember her 20 years ago or whenever it was. But, you know, I won't say she was, you know, main event status at any point, but she was hot for a minute on WCW, you know, with Crowbar and Raven
they keep showing the clip of that match where she accidentally wins the Cruiserweight Championship from Crowbar.
it's a
hoot and a half. If you haven't seen it, it's really funny. She does a great job, and she doesn't even mean to. And it's really, I mean, I think it's fantastic. So, rest in peace, Daphne. You will be missed. The first half of the buy-in featured typical assortment of video packages, promos, and general hype for the show. Excalibur and Tony Schiavone ran down the card half past the top of the hour. I felt the commentary for tonight's show was outstanding because there was really a lack of Excalibur. There was not so much Excalibur.
I was going to say, I don't remember hearing Excalibur a whole lot, except when he was explaining Japanese wrestling history or something.
There wasn't a lot of Excalibur, and to me, that was the best part of the whole thing. I thought JR was... God, there was some shit that he popped me on so bad during that fight. When Don Callis is going through the Young Bucks and how many great tag teams they are in fucking Dragon, what about the McGuire twins? I swear to God. Oh, that was fun. If you know, the McGuire twins were these celebrities in the 70s who were like Paris Hilton. They were celebrities for no reason. They were these two fat guys that rode around on mopeds. And they were from my part of the world in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And I remember seeing them most, I guess, ubiquitously on the television show Real People.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which was just an NBC show. Was that an NBC reaction to That's Incredible?
I think That's Incredible was the reaction.
The reaction to Real People was just a weird show that showed weird stuff and people could do stuff and pop their eyes out of socket and shit like that. And the McGuire twins were on there and they were just fat. But they also were booked in a lot of wrestling matches, particularly in Southern territories and in Tennessee. And they would just get in, roll around, and you'd bounce off them for a while. I don't think they ever went over. But for him to come up with that, and then Tony Schiavone when the Young Bucks lost that match and lost their world, he's like, said to Don Callis, "That's how you drew up, huh, Don?" And when they were getting beat up, he goes, "You still with us, Don?
You still with us?" That was great.
Honestly, there was some really entertaining shit, and I was looking at some of the pictures from Chicago. Tony was reunited on one of his paddles from Conrad's group for Mad Free Shows with David Crockett. That looked pretty funny. And then JR and the King were reunited as well. So I guess they had a big time up in Chicago this weekend. And
yeah,
a fun time was had by all. The Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and the Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Wheeler Yuta with Marco Stunt defeated the Hardy Family Office. This is in the buy-in.
We must have missed it, or I missed that.
That was the buy-in. That was the pregame show with the Hardley Brothers. So that happened as well.
There were some Hardley Brothers.
After the match, the Butcher returned and attacked Orange with a powerbomb. HFO tried to set up Orange and cut his hair, but half of the babyface locker room, including the Varsity Blondes, Dark Order and Top Flight, came out and ran them off. So they kind of hugged and embraced in the ring. That's when we came in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan Lambert, flanked by the... Okay, well, now as I talk about this wonderful pay-per-view and how I think it's the Starrcade of this century, what the fuck is up with this Dan Lambert character, this guy? I don't understand what this character is. I think it's supposed to be Jim Cornette, but I don't know.
Jim Cornette 2.0.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what he does. I don't know why he gets time on my television. I don't know why Scorpio Sky has aligned himself with it. I don't know what this is.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. Lambert can run his mouth okay, but, you know, those guys are a dime a dozen.
It's nice to see him get beat up every now and again, but I don't understand the point of this guy.
I don't either.
And doesn't it take up time that we need to get, I don't know, the Dark Order involved in reading a book or something? Some sort of stupid skit they could do.
Something.
I like Junior Dos Santos. He's a badass, but...
Well, yeah.
He looks really bored showing up every week.
All those guys do.
They just look like they're just standing over there playing.
The hell are we doing here?
I don't know.
When can we go? When the clubs close?
We're getting 1,500. What do we get for a per diem? They don't even know. They have no idea. Dan Lambert, flanked by the men of the year. That's what we're calling Scorpio Sky's little thing now, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, another faction.
Good to know. Jorge Masvidal, don't know him. I know Junior Dos Santos and Andre Arlovski, I know. They appeared in one of the press boxes and berated the fans. Paige said that he and Sky have the gift of gab and that they are extremely dangerous. Sky said they have to take it to the next level with their friends, American Top Team. What is American Top Team?
That was the Dan Lambert thing in TNA or whatever the fuck he was in.
Oh,
what was he in last time? Was it TNA?
I think. I don't know.
That was America's Top Team. That was his little ATT? MMA bunch.
Some of the funniest stuff I ever saw in TNA was when Jeff Jarrett was training to be an MMA fighter, and he was putting kids in like submission moves and shit like that. I really enjoyed that. Anyway, Lambert said everyone here is just waiting for his insurrection and whose ass to kick and when. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he should be using the word insurrection, but that's just me.
And now we're ready for All Out. TNT champion Miro against Eddie Kingston. Again, the officiating in AEW is really good for one referee, and then everybody else sucks. Paul Turner is terrible.
Chioda, is he in there?
No, Mike Chioda was there for one night.
Oh, okay.
Mike Chioda and Jeff Cobb had apparently the same contract.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No shit.
I don't know if they have the same agent or what, but Paul Turner is shit. What's the other guy, the Nosferatu-looking guy, Rick something or other? Anyway, he's bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even
know
their names.
He's very, very not good. The junior, smaller, bald guy is bad. And then they imported some indie refs from Chicago for ringside during the Battle Royale. All those people are very bad. In this match, there was the turnbuckle pad was taken off, and then the referee fucked that up. And then in the end, Miro was able to beat Eddie Kingston 13 minutes and 29 seconds. I thought it was a good match.
It was pretty good.
Overall,
yeah.
It was just like, we need to figure out what's going on with our officials here. In All Elite Wrestling, because they're not very good, unless they're named Aubrey.
That's pretty much it.
She's great.
I love her.
God, she's amazing, and she did tremendous tonight. But she didn't referee the main event, so I don't know.
That was a little surprising.
If somebody could explain that to me, and I don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
Man, I got to switch over to my computer here, and because the phone is. Oh, there we go. I think we got some more stuff in here. Yeah, that was their very first opener. I thought the opener turned out very well, and it was good. Full Gear, November the 13th. That was the announcement for Full Gear. I guess that's going to be in Vegas.
I don't know. Did it say?
AEW Full Gear is moving dates as the company's final pay of the year will now be on the 13th instead of November the 6th, and it was announced during All Out. However, the location is unknown. There's an event already booked on the 13th at the Chaffetz Arena in St. Louis, Missouri. AEW is currently still scheduled for a Rampage event on Friday, November the 5th in the same building, but no announcement has been made since the Full Gear date was announced. Two major combat sports events have been scheduled for November the 6th. UFC 268 from Madison Square Garden and a Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant boxing pay-per-view. Full Gear 2021 will be the third in the event's chronology. The 2019 edition was held in Baltimore. It's Chris Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. The gift that keeps on giving. Oh, Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley. Lights out match with tons of blood. And Chris Cruz getting the Maryland State Athletic Commission involved for no reason whatsoever.
I guess I showed you people. I'm still relevant in this business and you're not allowed to do any of this.
Remember his question at the post game.
Are you sure the Maryland State Athletic Commissioner is okay with what went on tonight? Are you sure with that? Are you positive?
Jon Moxley against Satoshi Kojima. Now, this was a big deal for really geeky fans, and it turned out to be a pretty good match. I thought the match was very good, and the result was Jon Moxley defeated Kojima. Bleacher Report gives it a B. By the way, I don't know if this was available on BR Live or not, but it was available on Fight TV for the first time since 2018. I don't think they've used Fight TV as their pay-per-view provider since 2018, and for some reason they're on there, which is fine, because I thought a lot of people noting the fact that on Fight TV you can pause and rewind live television, which you can't do on Peacock for WWE shit.
Yeah.
For a company named...
That
was very Eli Drake of you. Dummy!
Yeah!
Dummy! The back-and-forth nature of the match continued with Mox fighting success with a cross-arm breaker and Kojima rocking his opponent with a lariat. Kojima delivered chops inspired by Hiroshi Tenzan, but Moxley shook... I'm tired of this shit. I'm just tired of the reference to a guy like all of these people, all of these Godzilla-esque Japanese wrestlers. Oh, he kicks him like Gamera! I don't know.
When is Ultraman going to appear?
After the match, Minoru Suzuki debuted and people lost their shit coming face-to-face. They changed punishing forearms before Suzuki caught him with a rear naked choke, then transitioned to a Gotch pile driver and stood tall to close things out. That's what I was asking you. Is this a match? Because I haven't heard a bell ring or anything. They're just hitting each other and stuff?
Yeah, it was an exhibition.
I don't know. I don't know what was going on. The AEW Women's Championship match, Chris Statlander against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And this turned out to be a pretty good match.
I thought
these two wrestled very nicely. Let's see what Bleacher Report says. They gave it a B.
That's about, I'd give it a B.
I thought it was good. The challenger, I mean, the women's division in AEW is not that good, but
it's getting better. Well, it's getting better.
I may change my tune if we're going to book a bunch of Charlotte versus Nia Jax matches.
Well, yeah. Jam.
What happened?
I don't know.
And then it's like, God damn, that was good. Let's rematch it. Yeah. That's what America wants, is more of that. You definitely have your finger on the pulse of what's going on, Vince. Holy shit. The challenger crashed and burned on the floor moments later, and Baker made her pay for it with a stomp off the stairs. I fired up Cassidy to demand she get up and back in the ring, and she did. Yeah, it was Orange Cassidy. That was a good moment, right?
Can I just back up for a second? And you totally, when you started reading it.
Yeah.
This is where my mind was. You said the challenger crashed and burned.
It's not nice.
Okay. I had to think about that for a second.
Hashtag too soon.
It is too soon. No, I just, when you said it, that's just what
triggered.
You
heard Cornette give that, talk about when he's giving that promo and he mentioned the challenger and Dusty Hat's coming. All right, everybody, cut. Hey, kid, let's lose the challenger stuff. All right, everybody, let's roll again.
I do remember that.
Dr. Britt Baker delivering the Pittsburgh Sunrise and added the stomp followed by the lockjaw moments later to successfully retain her title. That's a B. There were two big takeaways from this one. According to Bleacher Report, it was incredibly refreshing to see Baker win a match clean, and this was easily Statlander's best performance to date.
Yeah.
I would say so in AEW.
Yeah, Chris Statlander's getting a lot better, I think. Since she's come back from that injury, I still say that she's really stepped it up.
Steel cage match for the AEW Tag Team Championship. And for my money, this was the best match of the night.
Yeah.
I know it's spot fest. Nobody sold shit. They're just doing... I thought they told a great story with the two brothers, with Penta and with Rey Fénix protecting each other. And the two brothers versus the two brothers thing was really good. Cheaters never prosper. Bloodied and battered, Ray Phoenix mounted a courageous comeback, dishing Matt and Nick Jackson some of their own medicine by way of the tacks. The tack and shoe gimmick. What did you think of the tack and the shoe gimmick?
It was different. I'll give them that.
There's some blood in this match, too. I hope the State Athletic Commission was okay with all that.
Well, it is Chicago.
Oh, you guys. Chris Cruz from Voice of America. We were big in 83. It was the Illinois State Athletic Commissioner. Was he okay with everything that you did tonight as far as the blood? That's what I'm asking here. Chris Cruz, Voice of America, are you positive the Illinois State Athletic Commissioner was fine with what happened? Because there was quite a bit of blood tonight.
I told you that time I watched the WrestleMania with Chris Cruz.
No,
It was down in Thomasville.
Ah.
I knew a guy, he knew a guy, we knew a guy, I don't know.
And you were just there.
This was the tidbit that I got from him. At that time, WWE was like super hot, you know, they were making a lot of money and stuff. And he goes, yeah, he said he heard, and what was well known through the industry was that they would make payroll just based on WrestleMania, like for the rest of the year. They would just make payroll for everybody on that one show.
Damn.
Which is, I mean, I don't know if that's absolutely true, but if it's like even a little bit true, it's still a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
The challengers delivered fear factor.
Okay. Thanks for letting me digest that for a second.
As Matt just barely broke up the pin, Phoenix scaled the cage and Nick attempted to join him, only to bump on the mat below. Phoenix soared off the top, wiping everyone out, then joined Penta for the spike pile driver on Nick for the win and the titles. Lucha Brothers defeating, and it's an A+ from our friends.
Yeah, A+ for sure.
And with that, we have our match of the year for 20. It is that one's going to be a tough one to top.
Yeah, it is. Just good. Say what you want about the Bucks, because I say it too. But you know, they're good in the ring, and they'll show out sometimes. And when, especially when they're put up against somebody like the Lucha Brothers, who make them look even better, you know.
Right.
And I like the little thing at the end when Penta went over to his little girl. Yeah. And then
stupid ass Nosferatu.
Yeah,
he has to move him along.
God dang!
We went too long. You got to move on. You can't celebrate with your child. What the fuck, dude? I'm sorry. Get out of here.
That was just a different look for Penta. You don't really picture him with.
Reminds me of Bruce Pritchard bitching about the "This Is Your Life" segment at the Greensboro Coliseum with The Rock and McMahon. It was 18 minutes too long. We had to cut. It's like you got like a 50 share. Fuck you, God Almighty, you dumbass.
One of the most memorable fucking times in WWE, you know?
It was like the highest rated segment, I think, in the history of like Raw or SmackDown.
Okay, well, there you go. Exactly.
And they were like, because I remember Mick in the book talks about when they went to catering the next day and they said like 9.2 or whatever the rating was. And Vince goes, "All right, I'll never tell you no again. Don't worry about it." Which was a lie.
Lie.
That was a lie.
Bold face.
I'll tell you, things are happening. The Casino Battle Royale, which was a little confusing because they have four suits and cards. They have hearts and they have diamonds and they got spades and you got your
clubs.
Clubs. So yeah, I knew it was something.
Yeah, there was one missing.
And then there's a Joker.
So. Actually, there's usually two Jokers, but you know, we'll let it slide.
It's a little bit on the nose. If you gotta watch your racial makeup when you're talking about the spades, but I thought they got it right. So you can get into some dangerous territory.
Yeah, that's a fine line right there, my friend.
There was some good shit in that match. There was some. Really
it was all right. It was, for a battle royal, it was good. I was kind of looking forward to it anyway.
And the Joker turned out to be the great Ruby Riott, who is now known as Ruby Soho. She looked like $1 million.
Yes,
looked tremendous, was great, and she ends up winning the Battle Royale, and she will challenge Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, for that world championship.
I hope she gets it. I think she deserves it. I'm not, you know, normally I would say, you know, since she just came in, give her time to get adjusted and give somebody else a chance that's been there for, but I think she deserves it, man. I think she was fucked over at WWE, and I think AEW realizes it, and I think they're going to end up letting her out.
You can tell she was emotional coming down the ramp when she got that pop, but she looked, like I said, she looked fantastic. She's just a great performer. She's got a great look.
And she's a great person.
Fantastic attitude, just in general. That's one of those where I don't know about Sean Spears or these other people in the locker room. She's somebody I think you want in the locker room. That's somebody you want to keep on. But she's also able to produce in the ring, unlike Sean Spears.
Well.
And she's able to get over, unlike Sean Spears.
Well.
Which is just the weirdest.
How about that?
Weirdest.
Funny how that works.
What was I? I was doing some good JR tonight, wasn't I? My God, that's really grapefruit juice, good God.
What are we going to call her? Oh, yeah, Ruby. Ruby Grapefruit Juice, by God. By God.
I didn't know what we were calling her. I wasn't sure.
Ruby Soho. That's right. Soho, yeah. That's a place in New York, by God. That's where Robert De Niro lives over at Soho, by God.
With Rampage presenting another hour of television, we have seen some more talent utilized. Hopefully that brings some more attention and vision to the division because the pieces are there. They're critical of saying that in the short term they don't have much of a plan. It doesn't seem for the women's division in All Elite Wrestling. That's what the Bleacher Report is saying.
Mm.
The final... MJF, I'm glad... After they fuck over MJF for a while, they've been able to reintroduce us to him, and now we're back in love with MJF as we always... Some of us always were. They have the Y2J countdown. You're like, oh my God, this is great. Jericho's going to come back because we just had the retro thing with Edge at SummerSlam, right?
Right,
with the
right. Brood and all.
So they do the countdown with the Y2J, and it turns out it's like, it says Chris Jericho's last match, and it's got the Burberry pattern on the screen and all that shit. MJF comes out, and he's just spectacular. And these guys did, I thought, a great match. Referee Paul Turner arrived. Oh, no. This is where Aubrey unfortunately counted to three with Chris Jericho's foot on the ropes.
Yes.
Unfortunately,
yes.
She counted to three.
Yes.
Match is over. Chris Jericho's career is over. And then Paul Turner gets aside. Hey, I have to tell you what happened. Okay, you had the one. Okay, the shoulder's down. Two, it's shoulder down. And three, shoulders are still down. But before you counted to three, his foot is on the ropes, and that's like not legal. So he's not really been pinned.
And then this whole time, Aubrey's got this look on her face like, what? Like, confused. What are you saying? What?
Really, like she's like being told like some calculus or some shit. So then Paul Turner has to go inform Justin.
All animated and shit.
And that's also like a weird part of that whole story, too. Because the reason Daniel Bryan got fired was because of Justin. That was the whole reason he got fired.
Wow. Irony.
Yeah. And it, like, here's the guy. And it's like, okay, I want you to go down the ring and just raise hell. Just break stuff and do whatever. Don't choke anybody with a tie.
Damn it.
God damn it. Why don't you do that? You're fired.
Literally.
Which led to us seeing him in 2010.
Yes, which was the best thing that ever happened to me and you.
Isn't that weird? Now he's back. Now, if they wanted to do some inside geeky Mark shit on... You know, a Dynamite, they have him choke out Justin Roberts with a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost, like, just fucking take my money. You don't remember this, but on the indie scene, in that very short period of time when he was unemployed, people would come up to him with ties, and he would sign the ties.
That's awesome.
That happened back in 2010. That was a thing that people would do, and I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done that.
Oh, like, yes.
Because I didn't remember anybody seeing anybody do that in Charlotte, but I remember Stutzy telling me that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, that was so funny. Please, 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 somebody, like, really soon. But he's a good guy, so he can't really choke him out with a tie.
Well, I mean, I would even settle for him going up and just fucking around with him, like grabbing his tie and going, hey, gotcha.
Although Justin Roberts is a piece of shit, and it'd be great if he just do it. Like, he'd probably get a huge pop out.
Oh, I'm sure.
What's the thing that Justin Roberts does now? Oh, yeah, it's Rampage!
Gian Moxley!
I can do an imitation of Justin Roberts taking a shit.
Kaplush.
Jesus. So they restart the match. Jericho wins, and his career will continue. It was given a B by the good folks at Bleacher Report.
A B, okay.
Here we come with CM Punk and Darby Allin. They had a very
interesting... I'm interested in what they give this match.
You were left. I think you were peeing or something. They had a little video package.
Don't tell stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. Bryant has bodily functions.
I don't care.
I was peeing a lot because I was drinking a lot of beer.
I was peeing quite a bit. I drank a gallon of fucking tea.
So CM Punk, Chick Magnet Punk, they had a Darby Allin thing where they had a body bag with an arm hanging out of it. It had like spray painted on it, Best in the World. And Darby Allin's in a helicopter, and he lifts this body bag with the thing, with the arm like dangling around, and he's kind of flying off. And then at the end of it, Darby Allin jumps out of the helicopter. It was really weird. It was very interesting, but that's how the match started.
Yeah.
What do you think they gave this match as far as a grade? The beginning of the match was like red hot. The fans were into it and everything. The middle was a little slow, and then they picked it up at the end.
I'm going to say B minus.
A. They gave it an A.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Punk defeating Allen. 7+ years passed between Punk's last match and his performance on Sunday night. It is almost incomprehensible that someone could take off after losing their passion for a sport they devoted his life to step away from it completely and then come back to have the sort of match he did against Allen at All Out.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you look at it in that regard, but if you're looking at it as a pure, I mean, there were some flaws in that match. I mean, you know,
yeah, if you don't have any context or anything,
yeah. But if you're going purely on him coming back and looking good after 7 years, then yeah, I'll give it an A. But you know, however you want to look at it, I guess.
Sting comes down, shakes his hand. He shakes Darby's hand, and I don't know who's going to work with Punk next, because we have some contenders for that position.
Based
on what happened at the end. Better yet, Allen looked like an absolute star hanging out with one of the more prominent names of an entire generation. He will recover just fine and be more beloved than ever as a result. I would agree with that.
And I told you, man, how'd you like to be Darby Allen laying there in that ring and get up and right there and have Punk and Sting patting you on the back?
It's got to be a dream.
I mean, God dang.
It's got to be an absolute dream. You know what this pay-per-view actually lacked? Daniel Garcia.
Ah, damn.
If I could have had some Daniel Garcia in the show. And it's not even that I don't like the 2.0 guys. It's just like, this happens in AEW. Somebody will show up because they were trained by Pepper Parks, which is Daniel Garcia's thing. And like, oh, of course, you should get like several minutes on national television in prime time for no reason, like 3 weeks in a row. Absolutely. Come on in, dipshit.
Well, I think they kind of push people sometime, not all the time, but I think they might have overpushed 2.0 just a little bit. And I do think maybe they got a little screwed from WWE. They're probably better than they give them credit for, that WWE gave them credit for. But I think they kind of shoved them down their throats a little bit, don't you think?
Maybe, but I still think they're going to pan out.
I think they'll pan out. They just cool off a little bit, you know.
White against QT Marshall with the Factory. I can't remember. I never remember the Bruiser Brody looking guy.
I know their names, but I can never think of them.
Guess what this match got? Guess what? Because I slept through most of this. What did this match get?
I gotta say a C.
Ooh, you were too generous. A D.
Ooh, well, I was being too generous, but I'm not going to complain about that grade.
White wanted to prove, and Paul White does win. By the way, he defeats QT Marshall as it should be with the Factory. White wanted to prove he still has something to offer as an in-ring performer, and he failed. No, that's not what it says. And he failed. Back to YouTube commentary for you, pal. Despite the effort and the passion, it was abundantly clear he is not moving nearly well enough to contribute to as a wrestler in All Elite Wrestling right now. That he didn't exactly have the strongest story, nor the most electric dance partner in Marshall and the Factory didn't help. What? There's a faction that sucks on AEW? You got to be kidding me. That's not true. Unfortunately, despite the drive and determination to perform for the live audience, White is better utilized backstage in our commentary.
Yeah, I concur.
Our main event from Chicago and the Series Centre. AEW World Championship is on the line. Kenny Omega is your title holder. He has Don Callis in his corner, and he also has about 50 other people. Taking on Christian Cage. Pretty good match.
NWO, man.
For life. Callis was pretty good tonight. Callis was pretty entertaining.
Because he didn't try to take the show over.
Right. If you have him in controlled doses.
Yes.
And the pink suit is over, okay?
Yeah.
It is over.
Oh, absolutely.
I would never say otherwise. But him getting his ass kicked by the commentary team. Just the way he drew it up, right, Don? I gotta say, it was some funny stuff.
Yeah, that was classic.
Kenneth Omega entered the main event of the AEW World Champion, but on the defensive following his first loss in 18 months. The man that beat him, current Impact World Champion, and his challenger on Sunday, Christian, at Last Year on Your Own. An early flurry by Cage was negated when Omega capitalized on Don Callis distracting the referee and delivered a double stomp that broke a table over his opponent's sternum and midsection. From there, the champion dominated the action, forcing Captain Charisma on the defensive. Cage fought back into the cage, but Omega halted his momentum with a knee to the face. Omega added a V-trigger, which Cornette calls the vagina trigger, on the back of the head with a snapdragon suplex. Another snapdragon, a third, another V-trigger obliterated the challenger. Christian recovered and delivered a spear through the table, an emphatic announcement to Omega and the AEW faithful that he was not going away that easily. Omega survived two more spears and delivered a ripcord V-trigger. Christian answered with a kill switch that Omega just barely kicked out of. The champion recovered, fought out of an attempted kill switch from the top rope, and delivered an avalanched one-winged angel, which Cornette calls the one-winged fairy, for the win. That was an impressive finishing move. After the match,
it was.
A braggadocious Omega cut a promo announcing the idea that there is no one who could beat him. The people who could beat him have either retired or are dead. The lights were cut. Here comes Adam Cole, baby, his debut into All Elite Wrestling. He comes into the ring and immediately super kicks Jungle Boy.
People are like, what? What?
This is when Brian goes, oh, it's the New World Order. And they start hugging and kissing. And then Luke Gallows has already gotten his ass kicked at least once tonight. He did a good job taking an ass whooping. Did you see Carl Anderson like getting some heat from the fans for being like a little bitch boy this weekend in Chicago?
No.
He was something about like them, like he was like making fun of them trying to get his autograph or get autographs or something at the hotel and shit like that. People just piled on him and just beat the shit out of him. It was great. I was like, okay, Mars Hill, nice. That'll be good. Thank you. Shut up.
Well, I don't know about you, man. And I don't know. It may be part of his gimmick, but it seems like Anderson is a little thin-skinned.
He goes back and forth with me. Like sometimes he's like totally cool, and sometimes he's just like uptight. Got to stick.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I don't know. He seems to be a little prickly.
A little prickly.
Prickly is how I would say the machine gun is. Let me see if I can find the actual tweet because I think he got murdered on this thing. He's got 382,000 followers.
He's a good brother.
He is a good brother. And he's a good performer, and he's underrated as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I do hate the fact that he seems to take the damn pin all the time when they lose.
Somebody's criticizing him, and he goes, y'all are too much. You're lucky I even write back on here. Let me say something to you loud and clear. Fuck you all.
Ah!
I don't know if he's in gimmick or not. He may be just doing the gimmick.
You can't tell, man.
Which is funny. Marks are so fucking stupid. Grow up. Just realize you're watching the greatest wrestlers alive walking to the ring. Fuck. That's why I deny you fucking idiots picks in the hotels when you camp out like assholes. Thanks for the support. You think he's in character?
It's hard to say, man. He's one of those guys. It's hard to tell, man.
That thing I showed you, and I think you saw some of it, was when Cameron Grimes, when Trevor was on that WWE and Espanol thing that was live on Instagram.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was totally in character the whole time.
Yeah.
And he was great. He was really good. Yeah. He's like super pumped, and he's like giving all these answers and shit. So
good for him, man.
Adam Cole celebrates with
the rest of the NWO.
That's what I was hoping for. Like when Sting came down for Darby Allin, I was hoping it was going to be Jeff Farmer. It was going to be NWO Sting. So they're celebrating the ring and they're talking about how the Elite are the greatest and nobody can stop them. And all of a sudden, that's when we get Fly of the Valkyries remixed.
There's
Daniel Bryan in a white t-shirt and a man bun coming in, and he starts whooping that ass. And I think Luke Gallows took another ass kicking. And then
from Luchasaurus.
Daniel Bryan immediately started beating up on Bald Buck over there in the corner.
A Bald Buck.
And the match gets an A+, and the good guys stood tall at the end of it. It was Christian Cage and Bryan Danielson embracing, and he is now All Elite. Clearly, all the momentum in this business is on the side of All Elite Wrestling.
No, I don't, dude.
It's not even
close. I don't even think it's close. It's not even close. I just don't think it's close right
like,
now.
What they have legitimately for WWE right now is they can say, we've got Brock Lesnar, we've got Roman Reigns, we've got Becky Lynch.
And you know, you can put an asterisk on Becky Lynch because I don't think people are still sitting well with how she got the belt from Bianca. No,
there's a stench on that, but there's so much.
There's a stench on Lynch.
Stitch on Lynch. What's up? I think we have a title for this episode now. They've got it right now. I mean, they've got all the momentum. It's the more exciting program. I don't know how sustainable it is just to continue to throw. I mean, obviously the budget for AEW is unlimited. Clearly the budget for AEW and the priority for World Wrestling Entertainment right now is to try to cut down payroll so that they can get this thing sold to Universal or whoever they're
going
to sell it to.
Such a different scenario going on here, man.
There's like two different things. So it's like, I can't tell you how sustainable it is for like, oh, this person's gone from the WWE. Okay, let's throw a shit ton of money at them. This person's gone from the WWE. Okay, let's throw a shit ton of money at them. I don't know how long that can go on.
Well, I don't. I think you got to be a little picky. Got to be a little choosy.
I think so too. You have to fire Nakazawa and QT Marshall and Sean Spears.
And
about six different factions that don't belong. I'm not really sure that we need a gun club. I'm not entirely convinced that we need a gun club.
Yeah. Well, maybe on AEW Dark or something. But I don't have a problem with them bringing – at first, I thought they might be overdoing it, bringing people in left and right, and it seems like they're doing it again. But I think I've come to the conclusion that I think they can do it if they maintain it – or I'm sorry, not maintain it, but if they use some – I don't know, just use some tactics and where they can keep things going with good – you know, good shit each week with good storytelling and that sort of thing. Because I think that's one thing that AEW may be their Achilles heel is sometimes their storytelling gets a little
spot on tonight. All those matches had a story
tonight. Yeah, not tonight.
All those matches had a story, and it was either someone. I mean, like the Paul White match, whatever. But I mean, the rest of them had compelling stories, and like the Bucks match with the Lucha Brothers, that was a very detailed – that was a WrestleMania-style entrance from the Lucha
Brothers.
Absolutely,
dude.
That was like all the production value and all that. So the camera work was really pretty good for the most part tonight. I didn't see them missing a whole lot.
Well, it was during the Casino Royal. That was – the camera work there was just horrible. Well,
they just got so tricky with the here's four people and here's four more people.
Yeah.
All of that stuff got a little just weird.
But
that's all the momentum is on the side of AEW. I don't know if they're going to be able to capitalize with their machine and amass. You know, you can see several years from now if they're able to amass enough of a library, they can start their own network like WWE. If that's something that Tony Khan wants to look into, the business model right now looks pretty good. Obviously, they're not a publicly traded company. I don't think they're ever going to be, and they don't want to be. They're in a good spot with AT&T. It seems like. I think that they got smooth sailing right now as far as everything goes.
It looks like it.
And WWE is nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Nothing but choppy waters ahead for World Wrestling Entertainment. You've seen all of the stories. That horrible NXT logo, and it looks like Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are going to be like the new brain children.
I don't know what that's all about. It's fucking stupid.
I look forward to more storylines like Lily.
That's
going on the maybe Lily will actually be sent down to NXT. They were looking for somebody to do the character of Lily. They were trying to do that not that long
ago. Oh God, no. Well, but here's the thing about AEW too. Look at all the guys I got, like Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy,
right.
Hangman Page is kind of in the background right now, but he's still there. Okay,
yeah.
Jericho. Now you got Bebe and
Daniel Bryan,
Punk.
Yeah,
all these guys, everybody that I just named, are going to get huge pops.
Oh, yeah.
every time. But the thing about it is, you got to keep these other people in the background. You got to keep those storylines pumping,
The idea for the older guys is to try to get some of the younger guys over, and that's what you did even with Darby Allin. Even though you beat him, he still is elevated by that loss, and that's the idea behind. Using a Christian Cage, using a Chris Jericho elevating MJF, and that's been an up and down road, but Max looks pretty good right now.
Yeah,
he looks like he's hot again.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, I, as far as that's concerned, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Maxwell to go on to somebody else here. I've had enough of the Maxwell Jericho.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm pretty much done with
it. I mean, I was looking forward to that when that first came together and all that stuff, but I think we've all had enough of that.
I don't. We're kind of lacking some baby. I mean, obviously, like, the dream would be Maxwell and Daniel Bryan would be an amazing program right now.
There's so many possibilities
right
now.
That's the thing, is just trying to mix and match everybody and kind of get them in the right spots. But that's...
I mean, think about Punk.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Who's up next for Punk?
I mean, you could do Punk and Maxwell pretty easily.
Oh, my God.
There's like a million things. And that's a way better problem to have than what Vince has.
Oh, not even, dude, that's not even in the same galaxy.
Like Tony Khan's thing. I don't think. Tony Khan's thing is like, who am I going to like square up and go into a program next? Vince's thing is, who do I'm going to fire today? Let's see. I'm going to fire this guy. I got to feel like Liv Morgan's got to be on the chopping block at some point pretty soon.
I don't, yeah, because I can't figure out what they're trying to do with her.
Nobody can.
I thought they were trying to push her, and yeah. then she loses all. And I'm like, what the hell?
There was a thing there, and now I don't think there's a thing there.
I mean,
I like her a lot.
She still gets a pop, though, man.
She's great. Oh, she's great. But they fucked it up completely.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
This is all on the 58 writers and the 167 producers.
Oh, yeah. And then half of those people have never seen wrestling before they walked into that company.
And so. If they do, if they ever actually admit that they watch wrestling or anything, that's like a detriment to them. They're like, they fire them immediately.
No doubt. But then
you have that crazy. One woman that was on there bragging, like, I used to work on soap operas and stuff, and I'd never even seen wrestling. And then she does this article, like, I don't even know anything about it. But I wrote this storyline with Lana or whatever, and then the next day she's fired because she admits that she had no idea about the problem. So he's got this weird like dichotomy of stuff like you can't
don't tell anybody.
You can't know nothing about wrestling, but you can't know something about it. Somewhere between knowing something and nothing is where I want. That's where I want you. What is hard to understand about that? I want you to not know nothing, but I want you to not know something. How do you not get that? God damn it! These people are stupid. Keith Lee gonna learn how to moonsault. That's what you do because that's all of the momentum. All of the momentum right now is on AEW side.
It's not even even with the Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar. It's not even close. Not even close.
Which is why I saw Disco Inferno telling us on one of the Vince Russo show that SmackDown's the best show on television. SmackDown's the best show on television. I don't know if his stupid $20,000 website open up this weekend? Because it was supposed to be like maybe September the 1st, maybe Labor Day.
I think his web. Let me tell you when his website will be up.
Yeah.
When Donald Trump is president.
Oh, don't even start with that.
The same day.
The 5th of never.
That was a Johnny River song. Johnny Mathis song.
That works for me. The 5th of never works for me. Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Post? I mean, it's nice to finish a pay-per-view and be excited about pro wrestling.
Yeah. God almighty.
Not like, oh, these were the two things I like, and these were the 75 things that sucked.
Yeah, because usually we come in after like a WWE pay-per-view. We're like, hey, let's see what the matches were.
Yeah,
what
Seth
were
Rollins they? Thing was okay. That was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah, I thought the videos were good.
I liked the video, yeah.
But they did okay with that.
But other than that,
what is? They really decided to announce this weekend there's going to be a Nia Jax Charlotte rematch.
Ever since you told me that, I didn't even know that.
I'm going to make you guys do it till you get it right. I don't care if it makes everybody just die. You're going to get it right.
Which might happen, Vince.
Right. It might happen.
It might really happen. Just letting you know that.
Bryant is on Twitter and Instagram at BrySports, B-R-Y Sports. He's on TikTok, Stanley Jackson 23. The show is on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. I am on Twitter at Britt Whitmire, and I'm on Instagram, BW4Reels, BDUB number 4, REELZ. And if you want to support us in what we do, you can go to our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. That is katievick.com. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.